Proverbs chapter 11. We're going to start with verse number 1. New chapter for us. Again, because we're in antithetical statements, I may not look at each and every verse. We'll look at some. I think that now we're starting to learn how the antithetical statements work. And now we need to start reading the book of Proverbs daily so that we can apply the antithetical statements to our life, because the antithetical statement is a positive statement and then a negative statement. They're opposite statements of how God wants us to function. It gives God's view, the world's view. God's view, the world's view, or the world's view, then God's view, so that we can know day by day how to behave as we go through the day, the different challenges and situations we come to. So, let's start reading about a few of the verses in chapter number 11. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perseverance of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profiteth not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but the transgressor shall be taken in their own naughtiness. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, but the hope of the unjust man perisheth. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. Well, let me pray, and then we'll look at some of these verses. Now, Father, we ask that you be with us. Guide us, direct us, and help us to apply these simple verses to our life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. So here we have a very important statement. Though it's a basic statement of simple dealing with people. Here I am. I'm at a store. This is where the illustration comes from. And I'm going to have, I want some barley. I want a pound of barley. I want a pound of flour. I want a half a pound of sugar. So I'm asking for something. So the store salesperson takes the barley, he puts it on the scale, but puts his thumb behind it and puts a little weight on the scale. And it looks like it's a pound, but it's not really, because he's pressing with his thumb or his finger. It's an unjust weight. So they take it off. They say you got a pound and you really didn't get a pound. Or the sugar or the flour. That's where the illustration comes from. Now, we don't quite function in our society with measurements like that anymore. But this was typical everyday. And so let's take a look at it from that point of view. This is a typical everyday way of functioning. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. What's that false balance? When we put something there that doesn't belong there. When we add a weight to that, what we're looking for, so that it's false, it's not real, it's not true, it's not accurate. So we're trying to get something from somebody that we don't deserve. We're trying to cheat somebody. God calls it an abomination. It's just not something He doesn't like. It's an abomination to God. It's vile to God. It's something basically that, if you will, makes God sick. But a just weight is His delight. What's a just weight? So, go to the same store, you go to the same guy, he takes the barley, you say you want a pound of barley, he puts it on the scale, he keeps his hand back, the scale is proper. When it says a pound, you've got a pound. And God says He delights in that. So God does not delight in perversion or twisted views. He delights in truth, accuracy, righteousness. So I want God to be delight. Delight means to be happy and excited. I'm delighted to meet you today. I'm delighted to be to do this today. It excites me. I'm excited to be here. That's what delighted is referring to. So one is an abomination to God, and one is a delight to God. So what do you want to be to God? Do you want to be an abomination to Him? Or do you want to be a delight? God said if you want to be a delight, then you have to be accurate and honest in your dealings. That's what it's referring to here. Accuracy and honesty in your dealings with people. Be right. Be true. Be true to you. Be true to others. Be true to the Word of God. Don't twist it. Don't make it sound like it's not what it really is. Don't make something look like something it's not. Don't make something look like something it's not. That's a good illustration of how to apply what God is telling us here. So don't make something to be false. I'll give you another illustration of how practical this is. When it comes to work, work for the hours you're supposed to work, and don't be doing other things while you're supposed to be working. Give someone the full work day, just like give somebody the full pound. All right? So don't go to work expecting to cheat your boss out of extra time. Work during the time that you're supposed to work and rest during the time you're supposed to rest. By the way, you can use that in anything. In your marriage, give your marriage 100%. Don't just give it a part. Give it your all when it's time to work with your marriage. Give it your all when it's time to be in class. When you're in school, in class, don't sit there with a piece of paper and a pencil and draw funny pictures on a piece of paper when you're supposed to be listening to what the teacher's teaching you in class. Why? Because you're not giving a just weight. You're not giving them what it's supposed to be giving. What are you supposed to be doing in your classroom when you're sitting there? You're supposed to be trying to learn, listening to the teacher, obeying in the classroom so you can get all that's supposed to be given to you. So the just weight is doing that which is right to its fullest ability. An abomination then to the Lord is to do something halfway and then make the rest of it false. See? So I want to give God all that He's supposed to get. I want to make God happy. I want Him to be delighted with me. I want Him to be pleased with me. I want Him to be excited I'm around. And then say, oh, here comes that twisted one again. Now, God would never say that because He loved us. But I want Him to be delighted with me. So a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. But a just weight is His delight. Now, do you see how we make that applicable to today? Can you see how we can make that work today? So I'm going to give 100% of what I'm supposed to give when it's time to give it, and I'm not going to skew it. I'm not going to try to twist it. I'm not going to try to make it fake or false. I'm going to give what it really is. Okay? It's amazing to me how many people who call themselves Christians add stuff all the time to make inaccuracies. Well, in my opinion, this is what I think. Well, can I tell you what your opinion and what you think is worth when it comes to God's view and ideas of things? It's worth an abomination. Because we're not supposed to tell everything what we think and what we feel. We don't know the facts. Well, let me tell you what I think about so-and-so. I think that blah, 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 blah. And we twist things. And Christians attack Christians on a regular basis. Listen, we got a big enough fight going on out there. We don't need to be attacking each other. Christians never need to attack another Christian. Why? Because we got the devil out there to fight. And when we attack another Christian, what we're doing is we're trying to say that we're better than them and we know as much as God knows, and we don't. It's amazing how many times in my own mind I've been wrong about so many different things. I've been wrong about me, I've been wrong about others. And praise the Lord, I haven't shut my mouth off about what I thought was right when I was wrong because I took it through my twisted view. I'm not anybody's judge. I am only to judge things by the Word of God. If it doesn't match the Word of God, then it doesn't match the Word of God. If it matches the Word of God, then it matches the Word of God. My job isn't to correct everybody. When I was a little boy, we'd get in the car and go somewhere. And then we'd start fighting amongst ourselves on the back seat. And my mom and dad say, hey, listen, you quit saying that to your brother. You're not their parent. You quit saying that to your sister. You're not their mom and dad. We are. Let us handle it. How come we don't do that when it comes to Christians, when it comes to Christ? Are we not confident that God knows anything? Are we not confident that God can handle things? Is God not able to take care of things Himself? then why do we feel the need to have to jump in and play God with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ? Good question, isn't it? So how do I apply this verse? Well, I've just shown us a very applicable way to apply this verse when it comes to wisdom. So if I want to be a delight to God, then I'm not going to do those kind of things. I'm going to be just, careful to weigh things in His eyes correctly, so I become His delight, and not put my own skew on it, or put my own thumb on it, or put in my own twist to something. Just let it be His word. Alright? Verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But to the lowly is wisdom. Pride is the opposite of humility. Pride is the opposite of humility. Humility means to wholly depend on God. Pride is to wholly depend on yourself. I don't need God. I don't need anything. I don't need anybody. I'm all right. I'm good by myself. I'm good. I got this, God. I got this, everybody. I got it. And God says when pride comes, what happens is we're about to fall. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. Why? Because we're going to mess up because now we're depending on ourselves. And the truth is that we can't do it alone. We can't do it ourselves. Humility means wholly depending on God. So pride bringeth shame. Why does pride bringeth shame? Because pride is us being in charge. And it'll always bring us back to the place where we're ashamed of what happened, or what we did, or what's going on. But with the lowly is wisdom. The word lowly is another word for one who's submissive. What's the opposite of pride? Humility. What's lowliness? Then humility. And humility gives us wisdom. What's that? Looking at life from God's point of view. Looking at ourselves from God's point of view. And looking at others from God's point of view. So the opposite then of pride is lowly. The opposite of pride, which is self-dependence, is depending on the Lord, which is humility or lowliness. Lowliness and humility are almost interchangeable words. Not quite, but almost interchangeable words. So God is telling us to humble ourselves, and He will lift us up. Doesn't that say, teach us that in the Word of God? So here's a very practical application then in wisdom. When pride cometh, and we think we're better than everybody else, we're not better than anybody else. No one's better than you are, and no one's worse than you are. We're all just the same. And since no one's better than me, and no one's worse than me, then why don't we just quit fighting with each other? Amen? And so then, listen, you depend on God, I'll depend on God, and God will lead us through the direction we need to go. Alright? So we need to make sure that we don't allow ourselves to become full of ourselves. That's pride. But wholly depend on God. I'm going to say something here, and I want to make it real simple for everybody. Pride is saying to ourselves, I can handle this. You know, I'm good at it. I'm good. I can take care of it. But we can't. Pride is, I just don't feel like blah, 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 blah. Our life isn't supposed to be based on feeling and emotion. It's supposed to be based on faith and trusting Jesus Christ in Him alone. Taking the shield of faith, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. The shield of faith is able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. And that shield of faith is trusting Christ. But when I trust my feelings, when I trust my emotions, when I trust how I feel. Well, I've thought this through and here's what I think. Are you looking from it from God's point of view or your own point of view? Good application there, okay? Alright. When integrity of the upright, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of the transgressor shall destroy them. To transgress, remember, the word transgression means to willfully go against the Word of God. It's like breaking the law. I intentionally sped down the road, I broke the law. Transgression is knowing what the Bible says and intentionally going ahead and doing it anyhow. Illustration. When you're young, You were playing in the living room, and while you were playing, somebody knocked the vase off the table, it fell and broke, and Mama came in and said, "Who did that?" And you went, "I don't know, I didn't do that. I didn't do it. Who did it? I don't know who did it. I just guess it broke on its own." Didn't break on its own. Somebody broke it. And when Mama came in, you intentionally told that lie so that you wouldn't get your spanking, or you wouldn't get stood in the corner, or you wouldn't get a punishment. So that is a transgression. You transgressed the law. You knew that you should tell the truth. You didn't tell the truth on purpose for your own sake. Okay? So that's a transgression. So let's look at this again now. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. The word integrity is an interesting word. Here's what it means. Steadfast adherence to a strict ethic. A steadfast adherence to a strict ethic. Ethic is like a truth. I'm going to tell the truth. That's your ethics. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to look at so-and-so's paper. Ethics is having a strict integrity, having a strict, steadfast adherence to a strict ethical code. Alright? What's my ethical code? What's your ethical code? It's the Word of God. What God says is right. That's our ethical code. So, integrity then, our integrity, verse 3, the integrity of the upright, those who are saved, shall guide them. What's the integrity? The adherence to our strict ethical code. What's our ethical code? The Word of God. So I'm going to strictly adhere to the Word of God. I'm going to do what God's Word says. Oh, okay, let's see. Listen, doesn't the Bible teach us then to love our enemies as we love ourselves? That's an ethical code. We're supposed to live that way. People mistreat us. We're supposed to love them anyway. People disagree with us. We're supposed to love them anyway. People mistreat us. We're supposed to love them anyway. People say nasty things about us. We love them anyway. We're not supposed to love people on the basics of how they behave towards us. We're supposed to love them regardless. That's how Jesus is with you and me. I'm so glad He's that way with me. Aren't you glad He's that way with you? Well then, should we not be that way with others, since that's what the ethical code says for us to do? And our ethical code is the Word of God. So with the Word of God, I want to treat other people with the same respect and the same love and the same kindness that I would treat my friends and my neighbors and my loved ones. Is that right? Regardless of whether they're kind to me or not kind to me. So irregardless of how people treat me, I'm going to live by a strict code of conduct. A strict code of ethical, strict ethical code. So integrity of the upright shall guide them. That guiding is what? That ethical code. But the perverseness of the transgressor, that the perverse, remember, means twisted or turned. Who twists things and turns them and goes against that strict ethical code. What is that? The Word of God. He's a transgressor now. He's deliberately twisted things and gone against the Word of God. What's going to happen as a result? Shall destroy them. What's going to destroy them? Their twistedness. Their transgression. But the perverseness of the transgressor shall destroy them. That goes very simple. Ready? The wages of sin is death. There's a perfect application of how a transgressor's twisted nature kills them. And where's that death? In hell for eternity. It's not a physical death. It's an eternal death. And God deals with eternal death as He sees fit. And He has seen fit that the wages of sin is death. And He says you can get out of that if you trust me as your Savior. I'll pay your sin debt for you. Okay, then we can become righteous. And then what can we do? We can have integrity or a steadfast adherence to a strict ethical code. That ethical code is the Word of God. Another word for the word integrity is soundness. He's sound. They used to say he's sound as a dollar, because a dollar was based on gold standards, and it always had a value to it regardless of what it was made out of, because it was backed by gold that was in Fort Knox. Okay? So they had a statement that said they're as sound as a dollar. They're dependable. They're sound. They're steadfast. They have good ethics. They have good behavior. You can depend on this person. That's what the statement meant. But today our dollar is not based on anything. There is no gold standard behind it. We took it off the gold standard. And now it really isn't worth the paper it's made out of. It's as worth whatever anybody says it's worth. And because of that, it constantly twists and turns, and it's undependable. But we want soundness in our life. And how do we get that soundness then? We follow the Word of God. We obey our ethical code, which is the Bible. So that means we speak the truth. That means we care for each other as we care for ourselves. That means we give the gospel message out to other people. Someone asked me today, how do you feel when someone says they just don't believe? I ask them, what don't they believe in? You don't believe in heaven? You don't believe in there's a God at all? They said, well, it makes me mad. I get angry. I said, well, you don't need to get angry. It's not you. It's them. It's their decision. I can't live somebody else's life for them, although oftentimes I'd like to, and you would like to. We'd like to make decisions for people. We'd like to make people be in church. We'd like to make people get saved. We'd like to make people do the right thing. We'd like to see people quit their drinking liquor and taking the drugs and living a wild life that destroys them and causes them to have heartache and heartbreak. But I can't force anybody to do anything. So I can't get angry. I'm going to do the same thing Jesus did to me when I didn't believe. I'm going to love him anyway. Because for while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were wretched and twisted and perverted and transgressors, knowingly going against everything God stood for, attacking him directly, he still loved us. So, we see some tremendous things here then in these first few verses. So, let me just say, riches profiteth not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. We can almost make that a conjunction to verse number 3, okay? Because they're talking about the same thing. So it's not money that makes the difference. It's not wrong to have money. It's a love of money that's the root of all evil. But when we depend on riches to profit us, it's not going to, but righteousness delivereth from death. So what's going to deliver that transgressor? Righteousness. Salvation by grace and faith, trusting in Jesus Christ and allowing His righteousness to become our righteousness. So here we see an application in the very next verse. So it's almost like a building block. The four builds on number three. So they become interwoven, and you can see that in many verses in the book of Proverbs. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Let's stop for tonight. And we can see another verses that have applied to simple everyday living in the Christian life. We can see now where looking at life from God's point of view helps us to speak differently, to think differently, and to behave differently when we look from the Word of God and get the instruction from God on how to apply it. Father,